The Gospel according to Mark. After John's arrest, Jesus appeared in Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The reign of God is at hand. Change your hearts and minds and believe this good news. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw the brothers, Simon and Andrew, casting their nets into the sea, since they fished by trade. Jesus said to them, "Follow me, I will make you fishers of humankind." Proceeding a little further along, Jesus saw the brothers, James and John bar Zebedee. They too were in their boat, putting their nets in order. Immediately Jesus called them, and they left their father Zebedee standing in the boat with the hired help, and went off in the company of Jesus. The Gospel of Christ. Good news. Yesterday I spent over an hour embracing our newest grandchild. Our granddaughter arrived into our corner of the cosmos on Wednesday morning. As I held this precious little humanoid in my arms, I couldn't help marveling at the billions and billions of years of development that led to the configuration of cells in which little Evelyn Adele's conscious self is now poised to be, without a doubt, the planet's most dynamic, intelligent, beautiful, talented, compelling, loving, engaging, smart, funny. Did I say beautiful? She's gorgeous, just like all your children and grandchildren. She's gorgeous, of course. Just like each and every child who has ever been born. Little Evelyn has already won my heart. I'm hopelessly in love. It is amazing how much love bursts forth when a tiny little humanoid appears in your life. Holding Evelyn is like holding the sun and the moon and the stars in your arms. And it's difficult not to burst with the sheer joy at the revelation that life is so much more intricate, complex, beautiful, and awesome than we can even begin to imagine. And yet there's a sadness in the tenderness of that sweet embrace, because life is more intricate and complex than we can begin to imagine. The knowledge of all the risk and danger, sadness and tragedy in creation. I couldn't help thinking of all the disappointed parents and grandparents whose hopes and dreams did not come to fruition. And there's the tragedy and the injustice of all the beautiful children whose lives are at risk because of poverty, injustice, hatred, violence, war, and indifference. The complexity and the fragility of life seem so acute when you're holding a newborn in your arms. The mixture of emotions and the intensity of feeling is something that mere words cannot adequately describe. All of the parents and the grandparents here know this. Aunts and uncles know this. If you've held a baby in your arms, you know this. But if you had told me a few years ago, I would have understood intellectually what you were saying. But I would have had precious little idea of what it was that you were feeling. Being a grandparent is not something I ever thought was possible for me. Usually, you have to have children before you can be a grandparent. But thanks to the generosity of my beloved Carol's children, I have been blessed to be a grandmother. Next to Carol herself, I must say that being gran is the best surprise I could have hoped for, way back when I was discovering who I actually am. But I will confess that the role of grandmother is not a role I ever imagined playing. And my image of myself is changing. My ideas about the future are morphing into something I barely recognize. My hopes and dreams are expanding. I can hardly wait to see what lies ahead. The future is calling me to follow wherever these glorious little humans may lead us. So this week, As I've been wondering about the future and what the future holds for some very precious little ones, I have also had the words of today's gospel reading floating in the corners of my mind as I try to figure out exactly what the good news is. Jesus said, "This is the time of fulfillment. The reign of God is at hand. Change your hearts and minds and believe this good news." Good news. Evangelion, a Greek word which becomes in English evangel, as in evangelize and evangelical. It is an important word for us. Holy Cross is part of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Canada. To evangelize is to bring good news. And I suspect that many members of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Canada are more than a little indifferent to the word evangelical. We may call ourselves evangelical, but what's in a name, really? Thanks to some other churches, you know, those other churches whose callous way of being evangelical, the very word itself has fallen into disrepute. Honestly, most of us would rather not be associated with evangelicals. Good news hardly applies to the types of Christians who are willing to hit people over the head with their Bibles in order to judge and condemn them into some kind of fear that sees the fires of hell being kindled by their very souls. Besides, we're Lutherans, most of us. And if we're not Lutherans, we're Canadians. And by nature, we're not very evangelical. We don't push things. We're quieter, more modest. We prefer to live our lives quietly as an example and hope that others will see something in us worth inquiring about, and then we can refer them to an appropriate book or a good speaker or a pastor so that their questions can be answered in a modest, open kind of way that may or may not lead them to any particular conclusions, but will, of course, affirm that God's grace is sufficient. It is more than a little ironic that our very name includes the word evangelical, but there is precious little good news about the state of the Lutheran Church, or any church for that matter. Jesus said, "Follow me, I will make you fishers of people." But we all know that there are precious few people willing to be caught these days, and we church folk are woefully bad fishers. Sure, there are plenty of fish in the sea, but the holes in our nets make casting into the seas of busyness and modernity seem futile. Those of us who are willing to bait a few hooks with contemporary food for thought can't seem to snag enough fish to ensure our survival. So dwindling congregations and growing expenses have led us to cut back and cut back some more as we huddle together in the few remaining buildings that we can afford to maintain. Good news, not really. Over and over again, we are told, and so we tell each other, the sad news that the church is dying. It's not a particularly slow death. We are told that it's happening quickly. We are told, and so we tell one another, that the few members we do have are aging, and once they are dead, the church will die. The answer, we are told, and so we tell one another, is to attract young people. We need more young families. We need more children. We need youth and vitality. Unless we figure out how to attract young people, the church will die. The only problem is we're not particularly attractive to young people. And to date, our efforts to be hip, to get down with the program and move with the times has only exposed us for the aging frauds that we are, when we try to be something that we are not. And whatever you say about the inexperience of the younger generation, they are smart enough to spot a fake or an imposter. And so our programs and our youth outreach or even our pub nights, our movie nights, and yes, our contemporary worship has, for the most part, failed to produce the kind of results we need in order to survive. Some of us have turned to others of us as we contemplate for the meager resources and clamor for attention from congregations beyond, you know, those successful congregations that have large amounts of young people in them. And we've compared notes to try and figure out why are there missing generations from our midst? For the most part, churches that want to grow their numbers have become obsessed with trying to figure out what to do to bring in a younger crowd. Now, before I go any further, let me make it absolutely clear that I too believe that we should go out of our way to be attractive to a younger crowd. But, and there's a very big but here, so listen very carefully. Despite what we've been hearing, and what many of us have been saying, myself included, for decades, the youth are not the future of the church. Young people will not save the church. They are not our salvation. Look around. Most of us belong to the silver-haired population of this planet. And we are the future of the church, especially in Canada. I will confess that I too have been fooled into believing that what we really need to do is to ensure the future of the church with younger members. And I am grateful for every young person who is here. But the real solution lies more in a reality to which many of us have been blind, especially me. Let me begin with the facts. Hands up. All of you who were born between the years 1946 and 1965. Hands up. That's the majority. Congratulations. The vast majority of this congregation belongs to the generation of boomers, which in Canada continues to dominate the demographics. The truth is that the population of Canada, the United States, and Europe, which is way ahead of us on this, is aging. The fastest growing part of our population remains seniors. Currently, 15%, more than 15% of the population of Canada are senior citizens. And that percentage is rising at a quicker rate than it ever has in history. By the year 2030, more than 23% of the population will be made up of senior citizens. By 2050, that number will rise to 31% of the population of Canada will be a senior citizen. And in case you're wondering, the statisticians insist that senior citizens are people who have reached the age of 60. I'll be joining you soon. The good news is that even after the current crop of seniors have long since shuffled off this mortal coil, there will be plenty more senior citizens out there in the sea. The even better news is that as we live longer, we are enjoying better and better health. 80% of seniors can expect to live healthy and productive lives. And wait, it gets better. Our aging population is better educated than it has ever been before. And despite most of the dire predictions, the vast majority of seniors are better off financially than seniors have ever been in the history of humanity. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't challenges or that some of our seniors aren't living in poverty. It does mean that we do have the wherewithal to ensure that seniors can live vitally rewarding lives and contribute to the health and well-being of our society in ways that we are only beginning to tap into. The future has so much potential. And if you need even better news than that, Let me just tell you that according to the statisticians, Canada ranks fifth in the world for the quality of life of seniors. Congratulations. When the fish who have been caught by Jesus' compelling good news swim off to other shores, when we are gone, there will be plenty more fish in the seas. So let me ask you to think long and hard about this. Why aren't we casting our nets where the fish are? Have we become so obsessed with youth that we are willing to let schools and schools of fish swim past us in the vain hope that minnows are more attractive and more valuable? While I'm at it, I'm going to push it a little further. When did any of this good news become about saving the institution? We have good news to share with people who have ears to listen. Most of us are getting up there in years, so we know the importance of dwelling in the questions of this life. Who are we? Where did we come from? Why are we here? Is there a creator or a God or a source or a reality that we are somehow connected with? Where are we going? What is justice? How do we stop the violence? What can we do to ensure peace? What happens when we die? Where are we going? Are we going anywhere? Is there life beyond this life? What is love? Who am I? These are the questions that haunt our very existence. We have a contribution to make to conversations about the very nature of reality and what it means to be human. We have wisdom to share. We have love to give. We have a hunger for justice and for peace. We can continue to be obsessed with youth, or we can embrace who and what we are and live fully, love extravagantly, and become all that we are created to be. I believe that this particular congregation has something special to offer. Lord knows we have the gray hairs, the bald and balding heads, and the aching joints. But we also have a hunger to learn from others. We have wisdom, wit, and wealth to share. We have what so many people wish for in a congregation. We have an appetite for learning, and we're not afraid to dwell in our questions. We have the courage to try new things and to fail if necessary. We have a passion for life, and we sure know how to play. Holy Cross is uniquely placed to be church in the 21st century. When we worship together, stuff happens. As we encounter the Holy One in our midst, we have a global justice team which not only educates, it advocates and provides opportunities for all sorts of people. We have a beyond church team that is always thinking out of the box and engaging the world around us. We have Pastor Tom, who's... yes, but he's balding with skills and talents as a pastor and a psychotherapist. And he's enabling us to care for one another in ways that make a difference in people's lives. We have Marnie. Our music program is amazing. We have an adult education program which tackles the stuff of life. We also know the importance of children. And we have a dedicated group of volunteer educators who are committed to giving children opportunities to encounter the sacred in ways that will feed them for life. We probably have more professional educators per square inch than any other congregation I know. And we have all of you. We have a vital sense of fun as we play together, sing together, worship together, encounter the sacred together, struggle for justice together, and love one another in ways that nourish, ground, and sustain us in this amazing thing that we call life. And I hope that we can find the courage to play to our strengths. I know that we can meet our financial challenges and solve our accessibility challenges. And I trust that together we can be a vital community. Now, please don't go away from this sermon thinking, I want us to focus solely on being a senior congregation. That is not what I want us to do at all. We need all ages to be a vital and dynamic community. What I'm suggesting is that if we be authentic to who we are now, at this moment, in this place, at this time, if we play to our many, many strengths, we will continue to be the kind of congregation which is attractive to all ages. Healthy communities are attractive. Communities who know who they are and who they serve, these are healthy communities. Healthy communities are able to play to their strengths. We don't need to become what we are not in order to survive. We don't need to become something that is so far from who we are that we won't recognize ourselves. That doesn't mean that we don't need to change. And it doesn't mean that we don't need to challenge ourselves to be more than we are. It does mean that we need to remain open to the challenges of the world in which we live in. But from time to time, we need to hold up a mirror and to celebrate who we are right here, right now, in this place, together. Holy Cross is fearfully and wonderfully made. We have so much potential, so many strengths. Yes, we have challenges. Yes, we have blind spots. Yes, there's stuff we need to attend to. But I, for one, can't wait to spread the good news. The good news that God is love. There are so very many fish in the sea, all sorts of varieties, all sorts of ages. So let us follow Jesus and cast our nets widely. Let us play to our strengths, for we are great fishers. And we have the most precious bait, the good news that at the very heart of all that is, the divine reality that we call God is love. For everything there is a season. I think this is our season. Let's embrace it. Let's live fully, love extravagantly, and be all that we have the potential to be. Let's do it together in the midst of the one who is our lover, beloved, and love itself. And let's enjoy every precious moment of it. Amen.